breaking down the generational barriers. I really don't know if the intention was to help me feel more of a person in the middle than I already did. I'm at one of those stages in my life that those over here don't know about yet, and those over here have been there, done that, where you don't feel young, but you're absolutely sure you're not old. As I was looking around, I found it quite humorous that it seems that we just naturally, and please don't take this as a fault, I think there's some excellent reasons why this is good. But if you notice, we have a large population of the young people in this corner. And I know at this congregation it's almost traditional that that happens every Sunday, even when I'm here. But even at any time there's a meeting like this, they seem to congregate. Older generation, is that a good thing? Absolutely it is, because we know some things. We know the future cooperation of various congregations is starting right here. We know that the future families that are going to support and strengthen and grow the church are starting right here in this area. I know I'm embarrassing you. That's okay. Don't worry about it. That's the part of me that feels old, okay? But it's interesting to me that we also, and it's because we've had people come in a little later and mutate in, but we started off with a different complete generation right in this area. And I know some of you feel out of place, but that's okay. I just found that interesting. And then at the same time that was happening, those in-between people, the ones that have this was another generational notifier because of the way Travis announced it, the cry ram for changing diapers, feeding, or whatever. I immediately leaned over to Jill and I said, there is a person who's never had a child. We could tell. It was obvious. They seem to be at the back. Okay? Again, perhaps because maybe there's more room because if their kid starts to act up, they know they can get out quicker without being quite as much a distraction. There's all kinds of reasons for that. But I find it interesting that don't we as human beings, we tend to gravitate to those of our own age distinction. I kept trying to think of a cool paragraph to read to introduce this. And I couldn't come up with anything better than whoever wrote down what was sent to me. So I'm just going to read from what was sent to me. A timeless rift seems to exist between older and younger generations. This apparent difference in perspective and lack of mutual understanding has existed for generations regardless of the times or the society. Unfortunately, these generational barriers often enter the church. And they've asked me to speak to some specific questions concerning that. The first one being, is this an acceptable state within the body of Christ? Well, no, it's not. But again, don't go back to my opening statements and say that we've got a seemingly generation here, a generation here, a generation back there. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing under this context. Okay? So don't take that statement of no as if that you guys should all get up and move. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? I am saying that God does expect us to do good and treat everyone with respect and dignity, no matter how old or young we happen to be. I have no idea. I started counting it up and I gave up. I have no idea how many times God has told us to love one another, honor one another, humble ourselves to one another. And there's no age distinction that I can find in any of those statements. It is to go across the board. God does not want us mistreating or being disrespectful to any of our brethren for any reason. God is non-discriminational in that respect. So where do these come from? Where does it start? How do we end up with some sort of a generational barrier, as we sometimes refer to it, a generation gap? How do we end up at that point? Well, I thought about that a while, and I came up with this. It starts within each individual person and breeds from each individual age group. I want you to think about that for a second, because I think that's probably true. Because what happens a lot of times is we have one person, I'm not even going to pick an age group, but we have one person in an age group, and that person becomes frustrated or disgruntled or upset with somebody in another age group, and that slowly begins to be focused on that whole age group of that person they're frustrated with. And as that person talks to other people that are in their peer group, then that whole peer group begins to feel that same frustration toward, and pretty soon you have this widening trough between two age groups. Now, I do think there's something to be said about it just for the fact that we're young and old. Okay? There's sometimes, we've seen it especially in the last 50 years, that each successive generation is a lot different than the generation two ages before them, for a lot of reasons. If this generation, and I'm at that age where I can see it with my kids, right? My kids are bringing home, for instance, math homework or things that I wouldn't have done till 2 or 3 years past where they are. So when I have a computer question, I ask one of my kids. I was a little frustrated when Alyssa moved out of the house because there was a lot of things she helped me figure out. Now I have to call her on the phone or find other help someplace else. There are natural things that cause us to have differences among the generations. So as I go through but I think it starts with each individual first. So here's the task in your mind from this point on in my lesson. Everything else I'm going to say is going to be a test, because it would be very easy for each generation to hear the things I say and go, I sure hope they're listening. But what I hope is that we can take it upon ourselves and begin to think, does this reflect my attitudes? Is this something I am doing? Is there some way I can fix this? Because it all starts, if the problem starts with me as an individual, then the solution has to start at the same place. The solution has to start at the same place. So first I thought I would think about the positive. Because I thought, okay, what does each generation have to offer? What can each generation bring to the body? So I came up with a couple of short lists. And some of them are obvious. First of all, the older generation. We'll start with you guys. The older generation, they have the experience. They bring experience to the table. Guys, they really have been there and done that. Okay? Whatever you're going through, whatever you're thinking about, whatever problem you're having, whatever trouble you're going through, somebody over here or back there has already dealt with that issue. Okay? They really do have the experience. They have the knowledge that time and study brings that you can't get any other way. I wish, living in the computer generation, I wish there was a pill I could take or a book I could listen to while I slept or something I could plug into my ears and zap my brain with a bunch of information and knowledge, but we haven't figured that part out yet. So it takes time and study, and these guys have had the most time and study. They bring a wisdom that comes from that experience and that knowledge. When they're able to combine that together, they bring a wisdom. With that, oftentimes comes a caution that is necessary. Okay? That is necessary. Because if the church was to just go about willy-nilly doing whatever they felt like they should, we see sometimes what that brings on in other religious institutions, don't we? We see the road that can take us down. They can also serve as a wonderful and great example in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways. I'm reminded of Titus chapter 2, starting with verse 2, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, love, and patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to wine, teachers of good things. You guys have a lot on your plate. Okay? You guys have a lot that you are to help us see in your life. But Paul didn't stop there. You also have other things to do. That they, that's the older generation, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, to the word, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Good luck. That's your job. Within the church, that is the role that you guys have as the older generation, to serve as that example, to pass on that knowledge, to help teach the younger generation what it means to be a man, what it means to be a wife and a mother, what it means to be a member of the church. That's your job. What about the younger generation? What do they have to offer? Those young whippersnappers that are always jumping into things, right? They have the energy and enthusiasm that we tend to lose as we get older sometimes. They have that within them. It's just innate, isn't it? What is it we always say about the little kid? If we could bottle that energy and take a sip every once in a while, we'd feel pretty good. But we can't. They have vision. They're looking and they see a whole world of possibilities in front of them, and they have no experience to tell them this won't work or that won't work or this isn't a good idea. So they see it all. They have a great vision. With that, they have a lack of pessimism. I thought about this one for a while. And I thought about this one because of an experience I had. And I want to share that experience. I'm not going to give any names, but I want you to listen to this. There was a group of men standing around. Some were younger generation, some were older generation. And we were talking about different things, and one of the younger generation said, you know, I think I'm just going to go knock doors. I got to do something. I want to do something. I'm just going to go knock some doors. And my first thought was, good. I don't know how successful you'll be, but good. Go for it. Go do that. Somebody of an older than I am generation was standing there and said, well, you can do that if you want to, but I've never had much success with that, so you're probably just wasting your time. Was there a generation gap there? Yeah, there was. The one was the thing they were going to do wrong?
No.
Was it going to hurt anybody?
No.
Could it have given them some strength and some encouragement? Because they needed something to do. They had the energy, they had the enthusiasm, they had a vision. What did they think in their head? They were going to walk down the street, knock the door, and 5 out of 10 times they were going to get a Bible study going. That was what was in their mind. They had that energy, that vision, that drive. The older person just couldn't imagine spending all that energy walking up and down the street, get all those doors slammed in their face, and to get called names and have all those problems. So why waste your time? That young person didn't go knock any doors that day. They have the drive. They have the vision. They have that lack of pessimism. They don't think it can't happen. They just don't. They don't think that. And what they are offering is bringing up the next generation. That's one of the biggest things they're offering. They're trying to figure out how to start a family, how to raise their kids. This is the generation. It's just a little bit older than these kids, right? They're kind of back there now. They're trying to raise their family. They're trying to keep the church moving in a positive and forward way as they bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So what can we do? What are some things we can do to break down these generational barriers? Well, I think one of the things is that each generation has to figure out now the negative things that sometimes we can bring to the table. So I have that list as well. What are some things that, as I look, and I've, this list, that other list was mostly mine. These two lists came from me talking to people from both older and younger generations, trying to get a handle on what some people saw. And what I did was this. I asked older generation people, and I should have said this at the beginning. I'm going to let you figure out what generation you're in. I'm not going to try to tell you that, because I'm not sure I know. But I asked the older generation, what's wrong with the younger generation? What do you see that it isn't good? And I asked the younger generation, what's the problem with the old people? What's going on with that? What do you see that could be a negative or could be a problem. And so this is the list that they came up with. The older generation needs to avoid being overly disappointed with others. Did you ever think about that? I hadn't thought about that one. Overly frustrated with the lack of knowledge. Frustrated with poor decisions that are made possibly because of a lack of knowledge or lack of experience or some wisdom. Sometimes the younger generation has to make mistakes to learn from them. That's the way we learn sometimes. And the older generation should be frustrated that in that they'd like to see it done better or changed, but maybe be careful about how that's vocalized and dealt with. Because one of the things that I heard from the younger generation was the older generation should try to avoid being overly critical, which I think goes hand in hand with that other one. Correction is necessary. That's what you're there for. That's what Paul said. One of the things is you've got to teach, you've got to admonish, you've got to correct. However, it has to be done with love, in wisdom, and in patience. You have been there and done that. So remember when you were there and did that and how you would like to be corrected, how you would like to be dealt with. One thing, and this was actually something that came from an older person, several older people, feeling left out. The older generation can feel left out because there are activities that the younger generation perhaps fellowships in that the older generation doesn't necessarily. Where are we going tonight for recreation? To a rec center where we're going to, play basketball, play volleyball. Not too many retirees are going to be out there hanging around with them, running up and down the court, jumping up, spiking the ball. Maybe you did that in your day, but as my wife says, I've got to start figuring out I'm getting too old for that stuff. So it's easy for them to begin feeling left out, that they're out of touch and that they're being left out. What the younger generation must avoid, and this was an interesting list too, rushing into things. Because, yeah, they've got that energy, they've got that drive, they've got that vision, and they're like Peter. They just want to go. They don't want to stop and think about it. They just want to go. Forming cliques. I thought that was interesting. Because, to me, this can happen with any generation, can't it? Every generation can have their little groups, and they know people outside the group. They talk to people. They're not angry at people outside the group. They do a little socialization with people outside the group. But for the most part, it's that group and that's it. And we have to be careful of that at all generation levels. At all generation levels. The desire to be too progressive. That was one of the things that the younger generation has to try to avoid. Because they rush into things, they don't have the experience, they don't have the wisdom, they can't look back and see, you know what, that is going to take us down this path to that path. I remember when I was young, somebody would say to me, oh, that's an awful slippery slope. That reminded me of a slide, and that sounded fun to me. I didn't understand what they were talking about. The younger generation does have to be careful not to move too far down the road away from what the Bible teaches. Now, I found this interesting because remember, one of the things the older generation was supposed to avoid was being overly critical. One of the things the younger generation was supposed to avoid was being overly critical. I found that interesting. Being overly critical. Critical of what? What would the younger generation be overly critical of? Well, critical perhaps that they feel like the Bible study is moving too slow. Critical perhaps that the services just seem the same all the time. That we're not doing anything new or different. Why can't we change things up? Now, there could be reasons to change things up, but changing them just to change them might not be the smartest thing in the world. I was reminded of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger as sisters, with all purity. Young people, younger generation, we're supposed to... I said we, didn't we? Still putting myself over there. You're supposed to treat the elders with respect, with honor, with understanding that they really may know what's best. And they may know what's best because they've already made that mistake. And it didn't work out too well. I was reminded of a king. We had King David. Did a pretty good job. His son Solomon did kind of an okay job. Had his problems. Did all right. But do you remember what Solomon's son Rehoboam did? He came to power and he sat down with the older advisors that had advised his father and kept peace in the nation. What should I do? And you remember what they had? Well, they had all kinds of advice for him. He didn't like that advice. So the Bible records that he went among those that he'd grown up with, his generation, his peers, and sought their advice. And they gave him advice that, really, if you look at that advice, no good ruler should ever follow that advice. Because they didn't understand. They didn't see what would lie ahead. They didn't understand the consequences. They couldn't see the big picture down the road because they didn't have the wisdom or the knowledge or the experience or the background. And he messed the whole thing up, didn't he? He followed that advice and it split the nation. Another thing the young generation has to avoid is being disrespectful. Reminded me of Leviticus 19:32. You will rise before the gray-headed. I don't think that means we have to literally stand up in front of people that are older than us, although that's not necessarily a bad idea. But I think the idea is honoring them, giving them their place, showing the respect that's due to their experience and wisdom. And, well, we'll go on. We all, no matter what generation, we all must be respectful and humble. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So how do we do it? How do we break that down? How do we integrate multiple generations within a congregation? Well, if we sat here and I went around the room to all the different congregations and different things that different congregations do, we could be here a long time because there's all kinds of ideas. I jotted down just a few. Varying studies and combining studies, making sure and trying to get that there are intergenerational within each study. Special events to honor each other. I know congregations that have dinners where the young generation serves the older generation, fixes everything, just does everything for them. I know congregations that the older generation picks a night a month where they watch the children of the younger generation so they can go do things either just as a couple or as a small group or whatever and have time together. It's doing what I'm kind of trying to do now, teaching all the generations to appreciate and treasure the things that we can all gain from one another. That gets lost in the shuffle. When we start to think negatively about somebody from another generation, what do we lose sight of? Or of any situation, we lose sight of the positives. We lose sight of the good that that individual or that group does because we begin to focus on the negatives. Working together on various projects. Outreach, facility upkeep, Bible studies, whatever. Anything that we can do. And that's just a small list. There could be all kinds of things. But one of the best ways, I think, to break down the generational barriers is to have some way that the generations come together and do things as a unit so they can learn and grow from one another. I want you to imagine something. Now, this is going to be kind of hard. Imagine a congregation with only a younger generation. No older generation. Now, that's kind of hard because we don't see those. But I want you to think about what that would look like. Limited knowledge. Don't necessarily have aren't necessarily willing to give up as much time for outside of service activities because of other constraints on their time. Changing things and doing things without the wisdom or the knowledge to be able to foresee the possible consequences in the future. That would be a congregation that just sort of did this, isn't it? Just wandering around with not much direction. They do a lot. They get a lot accomplished. They'd be real energetic. They'd be on fire. But I think we're going to have a talk. Is it tomorrow on zeal without knowledge? That's what I think that picture that could be. That would be a picture of. Now imagine a congregation with only an older generation. That one's not so hard, is it? That one's not. We have lots of those around, don't we? There's lots of knowledge in that congregation. But maybe they're stuck in some old ruts and are unable to change or adjust to things that need to be done. Maybe there's financially or physically some difficulties in maintaining the congregation or the facilities that are there. It's a lot of questioning of what the future will bring because there's none seen. That would be the opposite topic that we're going to have tomorrow, I think. Knowledge without zeal. What would be the ultimate? A congregation that has that knowledge and wisdom and experience to build on and to hold it as a foundation, but the zeal and the go get it and the fire within the younger congregation that can go do the things that the older generation can see need to be done, that's the perfect object. Breaking down generational barriers starts with each individual person deciding that they are going to appreciate and honor the other. That's where it starts. I believe that as each individual does that, it will lead to a general attitude within the congregation as a whole and spread throughout all the generations and further strengthen and encourage and admonish and grow the church within the body. Each individual. It starts with me. I'm the one that has to start. And he starts with you. It starts with every single individual. Let's break down those barriers. I don't know. This was an interesting topic because I'm not sure I see it in every congregation, but I have seen it. I have seen it. So good luck. Appreciate the elders. Understand where they've been, where they're coming from. Help them out. You've been there, done that. They need it. And they'll use your experience if they're wise. Thank you.